Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and what's going on? Well, shutdown, we'll call it. It is the old government shutdown, and the big question is, who cares? I think it's only a good thing that the government is shut down, because at the end of the day, they don't do anything anyways. At the end of the day, they know how to throw a lot of money in the garbage can, but they don't know how to actually take care of it and grow the economy other than trying to throw money at it. You've got the big argument between, you know, Schumer, who is a joke and all. And if you like him, good for you. I mean, he is just a selfish, greedy little son of a gun from that makes up these stories that you know, like it's a big deal. And of course, all of these debt ceiling deals or continuing resolutions or budget deals are always bad for us. Okay, this time, you know, you can blame, you know, on the Democrats, but many times it's been the Republicans, and usually they figure out a way to scam the American people in the middle of it. But I think the one difference you have today is you have a president who is really not interested in making another bad deal to get this thing passed. And, you know, he is in a power of strength, has put together a pretty solid first year in business in his presidency. Like him or not, you cannot dispute what the economy is doing, what the stock market is doing, and whatever. You cannot dispute a lot of the accomplishments that we've seen through this period. So, but at the end of it, okay, again, the whole system, you know, the whole political system is garbage, and it's good for them to be shut down. You know, again, maybe we can shut it down permanently, reduce the size of the government, and bring the power back to where it's supposed to be, starting out with the cities, the counties, the states, and then the federal government, okay? In the meantime, you know, you've got everybody speculating and what's going to happen. And of course, I think it's going to be, a longer shutdown than many think, you know, because, it's going to be I think a point of interest and a point of fact. And until they get it done, I think that's it. And so I say, so be it. And I'm happy. Again, I thought it was going to shut down anyways. And I think that, we all had the views that it would possibly shut down, and of course, it is. Now, again, as I said, it has really no effect on the overall markets. All right, the markets themselves have once again on Friday, right in the midst of this, we're making record highs. Now, I think that when we look back at last week and we say, okay, markets are making record highs. But there was some signs, there were some warnings out there that we are seeing, you know, a little bit more volatility. We're seeing a little bit more volume, which does indicate that possibly market tops may be being put into the market. Okay, now we're not predicting the top, although I would certainly rather play it from the short side than the long side here. But I'm not telling you to play it anyway. What I'm saying is that you're seeing some action that is consistent with a market that may be seeing the end for now. And again, when we say the end, we are big fans of the stock market. We are big fans of compounding your money through the stock market. We are big fans of never getting out, especially if you know how to hedge. Okay. And that is something that, you know, we always talk about, is if you know how to hedge and you never have to get out. In fact, you're looking for reasons to buy at discounted levels. So, you know, when I you know, go through all this and say, this is what I'd like to see. So again, I think a sell-off would be healthy. I think that this long-term bull run is created solely by the Federal Reserve and their legalized Ponzi scheme. I think that has to change. I think that has to stop. And I think they will once again, in my opinion, blow it as they have done every single time in the past. And interest rates will start to get away from them as much as they're trying to hold them down. And you can see that is in a very obvious play by the punishment that the dollar's been under. I mean, the dollar is now on, I think, 3-year lows. The 10-year notes, the interest rates, 10-year rates are at 2.6, which is a 3-year high. And the markets have held up pretty well, so that's a pretty good thing. But again, what I think is going to happen, if I were trying to predict it and lay it out, is we will see the rates will get away from the manipulators of the Federal Reserve. The rates will start to move higher, and they won't be able to control them. And I think that's something that we have to, you know, recognize and understand that it's a function of what they do. It's a function of trying to manipulate, to borrow your way out of debt, to do things that are unnatural to a free market system. And I think that's where we see this biggest breakdown is we don't have the free market system right now. You've got a manipulated system. You've got the central banks throughout the globe in concert. Okay, trying to make sure that they all get a chance to control their own currency, which is not a natural law of order. You know, that is not a free market when somebody is trying to manipulate price. And I think this is where we're going to see the rubber will meet the road. And again, I don't know when it's going to be, but this is when it starts to get away. You know, when interest rates start to rise rapidly, which I think they will at some point. These loans that are outstanding that were based on these cheaper rates, which are help keeping valuations somewhat what they would call normal. I don't call them normal, but something they would try to convince you that they're somewhat normal will start to change because now all of a sudden your cost of capital has gone up. Your stock prices, your valuations go from 25 or 30 to 50 and all of a sudden you're not in that same position. And again, I believe personally that we are dramatically overvalued at these prices. Okay. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we can't be more overvalued. There's no telling, you know, there's no automatic formula to say that this. We only know that there's an industry standard and there's a market standard, and that's what we compare it to. It's the same comparison we make by saying that the markets go up 8% year over year. Okay. So it doesn't necessarily mean that today is the day or this year is the year that it's going to be the end. But it is something that, again, that we use for a guideline. It's the same as, well, somebody says, well, the P.E. ratio is 5 on this company. What a great buy. Well, but what if the industry standard is only 3, then 5 is an overpayment. You just got to kind of understand how the market functions. And this is, I think, one of the biggest problems is the people that are in charge have no idea how a market functions. They don't know what free markets are. They don't know what it is to have the system handle itself, which is really what happens. Because if you let the free markets trade, buyers buy, sellers sell. They find what is they consider to be the fair price. In the meantime, we've got a crack. But happily, we have the government shut down, which is a good thing. Okay, because again, it's like trying to break up a bad group. We got to break these guys up and get something real. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to remind you about highschoolinvesting.com, and that's, you know, where we help educate our high school kids. And as I've been mentioning the last few days, if you go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading and make a donation, I will give you 1 week free of my futures advisory service. If you don't want to go to Patreon, you just want to try the advisor, if it'll cost you $5, you got to email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com. I'll send you a special link. In the meantime, don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day so that you can be up to speed with me and myself and help me, again, reach my goals of 1 million downloads per month this year. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba. Yeah. All right. Well, Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, and the unbelievably talented, our friend Jane King, Lila Max Media, and the Ka-Ching Report. What's up, Jane King?
Oh, Todd, just kind of, you know, it's been a roller coaster week. We've got government shutdowns. We've got, you know, craziness in Washington, record highs in the stock market. This is not a boring time, definitely, to live. It's very exciting.
No, it's not. And of course, you know, I think some interesting things that we're seeing, of course, even Apple is now participating and gave some big bonuses to their people. And it's bonuses galore around the street. And of course, the Democrats want to make it like, well, it's because the rich are getting so much richer, and the Republicans obviously are very happy with it. I mean, me personally, I think it's great. And of course, you and I both know that there's a tax advantage for them to give out these bonuses. But what's the difference? People are getting some more money to spend. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Absolutely. I mean, this is crazy. Like, they're just, I mean, I get it's their job. I mean, they have to, you know, promote, you know, their party. So they got to come up with something. But like the latest couple things I've heard is, well, they're not pay raises. They're just bonuses. So, you know, that's one. And then another one is, well, Apple was planning to spend some money anyway. And they've never said, like, how much is due to the tax cut change and how much were they going to spend anyway. And the bonuses are just a small fraction of what they're bringing back overseas. And, you know, it just the American public, I honestly think, is, you know, smarter than this. I think they know. I mean, just look at the timing of this. This is not a coincidence. The tax cut plan was passed in late December. It's been less than a month, and we've had, what, like 12, 15, 20 companies come out and talk about bonuses and expansions and what they're going to do. I mean, this is not a coincidence. This is a direct result of the mood of the country and of the tax cut law.
Well, I agree. I mean, let me ask you a question. Now, I find that, now, I'm neither left nor right. I'm really more of a libertarian, to be honest. I do align more with some of the conservative policies. But at the end of the day, I'm really more of a center guy. And my whole goal when I vote is to make the country better. Don't you find it offensive that Nancy Pelosi says and makes these comments like they're giving away crumbs to people? I mean, here's a woman that's worth $200 million that thinks of $1,000 is nothing, when if you're making $50,000 a year before tax, $1,000 is a lot of money, especially since 65% of the people in the country don't have $1,000 laying around in case of an emergency. Well, what do you think of all that?
No, absolutely. I mean, I would take $1,000. I mean, it would be helpful. I could like take care of a few things with that. So, yes, and it's not just the fact that she says it, but it's the way she says it. Oh, they're just crumbs. You know, I mean, just almost like, you know, the queen or something. And, you know, talking like the latest one is about, you know, oh, the Republican proposes just dog poo. You know, it's just really, she's kind of run her course. I mean, I think, you know, she probably served the party well the past, you know, few decades.
Last thousand years.
Really needs to be, however long. I know it's been a long time. But I think that, you know, whoever, I think they just need some fresh ideas and some fresh blood, because they're not, the American public is getting it. I mean, they're getting that, you know, in this government shutdown thing, the Democrats are counting on it to go how it's gone in the past, and that people are going to blame the Republicans. And I don't think that's going to happen this time. Yes, the Republicans are in charge of all three major branches of government in Washington, but it's a very slim margin. And most people know that. People know what's going on in politics more than they ever have in my lifetime. And I think they're already calling it the Schumer shutdown.
Well,
so,
it is.
I don't think they're going to win this time.
I don't either. And of course, listen, we've got the, you know, remember the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland? We got the Mad Tweeter in the White House, and he keeps everybody pretty much informed. And again, obviously, he's got his way of reporting, and I love the way it happens. I think it's really good. I look, everybody yells at me that's on the other side, well, he's not presidential. And I go, well, is there a definition of what you're supposed to be when you're the president? I thought you were just supposed to get the job done. And I think that based on the circumstances, he's done a pretty good job trying to get the job done. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think he has. I mean, he's shaken things up, which was the number one thing that was needed. I mean, there were just way too many people who were comfortable there. And so I think that's great. And I don't mind the tweeting. I mean, I think sometimes, like, one of the things that I hate the most about the tweeting is when he misspells things. because I feel like that just gives you know, the other side, like, ammunition. It's like, just take a second and look it over. but I don't mind it in concept, because I think he brings up points that people don't think about. Like, we all got kind of trained to, like, just listen to what, you know, we were hearing on the news and not questioning it that much. And he brings up another angle, a different way of looking at things that would not get coverage, I don't think. So I think it's really important. Like, the government shutdown, you know, it's a perfect example. It's fresh in our minds. He's saying, well, the Democrats are protecting illegal immigrants more than they're protecting Americans by voting to shut down the government. I think that's an interesting point that everybody should be aware of. So I don't mind it. I think it's fine that he tweets.
No, listen, again, I love it because I think, in my opinion, you know, it may not be the classiest thing, and we know he said some things that aren't so great, but you know what? What I like about it, it's a real person. It's a real man that is who he is, and he's not going to apologize to anybody, and I think it's great. Look, I think that this is what we need anyways. I've been a big advocate of having a businessman in the White House anyways, and I think that's what we have. What did you take away from the press conference? What was it? I think Wednesday on or Tuesday on his physical. Can you imagine these guys are trying to find anything that they could say that was wrong with
him? Oh, my God. Well, I actually watched the whole thing. I don't always get to because just my work schedule and things, but I watched the whole thing, and I was like, first of all, I'd never seen anything like it. Like, I was thinking, I don't remember ever seeing any other White House doctor come out and answer questions like this. Like, it was just kind of a report that we got before. Oh, he's in good health, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, just the questions, like, and the one that I think was the most annoying was, like, I think it was a British reporter, I don't even know who was like, well, do you wish he was in good health like Barack Obama? And I was just like, the guy smokes. I mean, it's just, like, it's crazy. And, you know, I've worked in the media for years and years, and these are some of the people, and there's many people, great people in the industry I love, friends with, but there's many people who think they're just the smartest people on the planet. And I'm sitting here watching this, and I'm like, these guys are not very smart. I mean, they're asking the same questions. They're not quite, they don't even understand and see their own bias, and which is just stunning. I mean, they should all go home and watch that press conference and just look at how they look.
You know, I got to tell you something, and I think that Sarah Huckabee is doing a great job at dealing with all this nonsense that goes on. I mean, you know, if I'm up there, I'm MFing everybody, but after 5 minutes, I'm going head to head with these, and she does show a little bit of anger occasionally, right? But she really does a really good job at handling the barrage of questions that come up there, and especially with the ignorance of many of them. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. I'm just imagining it. I get up and come to work, and some days I'm like, oh, my God, I got this to do and this to do and this to do. Can you imagine? I mean, that job. Like, she comes in, she has to face all these people. They're all hostile. They're all arrogant. And she's on public. She's on camera. You know, it's just, the whole thing is hard. So, yeah, I think she does a nice job. I think it's a really difficult job.
And I mean, I got to say that CNN, you know, whatever you think about their news, the way they report it, but their doctor, with that Dr. Gupta, who asked a question, got the answer, and then reported that he has some disease, some problems anyways, you know, without ever examining. I mean, is that not is that not ignorant? Just tell me what you think. Well, that's just, like, dumb.
That was what I mean. That was what I mean when I say they think they're so smart, but yet they're doing all these things that are just dumb, like diagnosing. I mean, here's the White House doctor who's been a White House doctor for Republicans and Democrats, does a thorough examination, has looked at blood levels, have done all this stuff. And you've got these people who are, nope, they're stubborn, strong-willed. I mean, it's amazing the mindset that is set in the media. And it's just ripe for disruption. I mean, what can you say? I mean, I don't know who's going to do it. I don't know if it's going to be some website or something like that. But I think ever since the Obama election and how just they were just fawning over him, I think ever since that was kind of the start of the downfall. People just didn't trust him anymore. And then it really exacerbated during the 2016 election.
And with that, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report, and you're an ace reporter in about 9 billion networks. Always good to see you on TV. As always, thanks so much for being on the show today. I appreciate
it. Thanks,
Tom. Our good friend, Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Kitchen Report. And she always does bring good things to the show. And she's been around. She's been a Bloomberg reporter. She's been doing this for a long time and out on her own right now. And she's a big believer in the highschoolinvesting.com website as well, and also a contributor. And, you know, again, be a part of it. Help yourself out, and also get to try the Futures Advisory as well. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. That's Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Margie said, "Roy."
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our expert, technical expert, cryptocurrency expert, just an expert of all trading methods, and it's Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Doing good, Matt. So we saw some interesting action between a government shutdown, and but I think first I want to talk to you about some of the wild action that we saw last week in the cryptocurrency space. You know, you and I were talking during the week, and we saw some major movement. And what the hell's going on there? Help me out.
Yeah, well, you know, we'd been looking for sort of a sell-off in Bitcoin. I told you I'm getting a little bit bearish on it. The good news is, so we've had obviously Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, we had a real meltdown, and let's see, Bitcoin went below 9,000, which I'm seeing actually as a good thing. I'm seeing monthly RSI finally come off. It got down to almost 70, so that means there's room for that indicator to move higher again. I don't know if this correction is over. I think there's a chance we go back down to the lows. But then I think it's another buying opportunity. We were buying into the Tuesday and Wednesday decline.
You know, so when you watch these things trade, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, it's like trading anything else. But of course, obviously, a lot of these charts are a little bit skewed because of the way that they traded. And, you know, sometimes they pop right away if they're new. Is there anything that you do differently when you're trading the cryptocurrency space, other than the fact that, A, you've got 24-hour day trading every day, 7 days a week, so that's a difference. But is there anything in the charts that are different, or is there anything that you look for first when you see something that you're looking at?
Sort of different from stocks. I mean, the comparison. I think that cryptos just move much faster, and you have these shorter periods of panic where people just dump. And when that happens, I see those as good buying opportunities. You get, you know, these 40, I think from Tuesday's high to Wednesday's low was about a 40% drop in Ether, 35% drop in Bitcoin. Basically, the whole space dropped about 35 to 40%. So it's happening in a time warp. It just happens so quickly. You have to be on the ball and say, you know, when I'm seeing RSI get oversold on daily and sometimes even weekly time periods, I'm saying, you know, let's buy. And then I have my price targets as well that line up. And so we'll go ahead and buy. So it's not really any different than anything else other than the time period is just – it's just radically shortened.
Right. I mean, because, again, we've got much more trading, and, you know, you've got 24 hours. You've got, you know, it's almost like playing online poker versus playing live poker, right? You can play so many hands in such a much shorter period of time that it just happens so fast because it is 24 hours a day and it's worldwide, it's global. Now, does any of this restriction stuff talk at some of these countries about this? Does that concern you at all? Does that concern you about the space at all? What's your overall take of that?
Yeah, it does concern me because, with South Korea talking about, you know, closing exchanges and that sort of thing, and China's already done that. And, you know, it's interesting that they want to do that. And I always wonder why. And are they worried about it being a threat to their own currency? South Korea is big on crypto. It's a worry because when you start so-called cracking down on exchanges, then that's the easy on-ramp for most investors to get into crypto. You can still get into it without the exchanges, but those are critical. I mean, as far as, you know, more rapid adoption, it does concern me. But now we're looking at new decentralized exchanges, being built right now. So when those are available, you're not going to be able to shut those exchanges down because the exchanges are going to be decentralized. There'll be no central point of failure, which is what crypto is all about. So I think it will be interesting within a year or two, you may have decentralized exchanges that South Korea can say, shut it down. Guess what? They have no ability to do it. That will be interesting.
Right. And then, of course, you know, you've got all these guys out there, you know, talking about it. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, the Jamie Dimons of the world who said it was all garbage now say, well, maybe not. Maybe it's going to be OK. And I'm a firm believer that cryptos are here to stay. I think it's a financial revolution. That's my opinion. And I think that, I don't know which one or which group will be around, but there are many out there to try to experiment and play with. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, right now you have a massive number of them. You have roughly 1,500 to 2,000, different tokens out there. We know that's going to be narrowed down. There are a certain group that are fighting for to be actual currency. There are others that, you know, have specific uses, and those use cases, some are good, some are, you know, questionable whether or not they'll still be around in a few years. But a lot of them will be here. And the ones that are competing for currency, I think, will narrow down. Some of them will, you know, go out. They'll go to zero, and then others will there'll be a smaller and smaller group that will act as currencies. But the space in general will stick around. I mean, this is just how it worked with, you know, internet companies. There's so many, you know, back in the 90s that are gone today. I mean, I think it was something like, you know, I don't want to, you know, speak incorrectly, but I think, you know, Jim Cramer had a list of internet stocks that he thought were, you know, the best. And of that list back in the late 90s, I think, only 10% are even still in business. And then if you look at the Super Bowl ads for 2000, only of 39 of those advertisers, only one is still around, and that's Intel. So it's going to narrow down, and that's why we're looking at it. We're reading about each of these, and we are, you know, trying to figure out who's going to stick around.
You know, I mean, that's a process that you have to go through. I mean, it's like any of these other, you know, things that go on within any form of investing. But of course, now, I look at the crypto space as an investment. Many are saying it's not an investment. What do you say?
Well, you know, whether it's an investment or a speculation, I guess, is it's a new space. So, you know, by definition, it's going to be somewhat speculative, at least. I see it as an investment also. But, you know, it's one you have to keep an eye on. And, you know, I think the space as a whole will continue to grow because they offer utility that, you know, fiat currency does not offer. And it offers utility in, you know, there's those utility coins, they're called utility coins. They offer utility that didn't exist before also. So a lot of this stuff, does have value, and I see it as an investment also.
No, I mean, again, everything we do is speculative. I mean, just because right. you buy the best company in the world doesn't mean it's, you're not speculating that it's going to go higher. That's why you're buying it, because you assume it's going to go up. But we've all seen, I mean, look what's happened to GE over the years, right? I mean,
yeah.
you know, if all those pension funds that were in GE, they're not very happy right now. So, you know, the crypto space is real, as they say in Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular. you know, again, which one is it going to be? We don't know, or which group is it? But again, the investment, the research, the understanding, technical analysis of how to read those is, I think, more the important thing than anything when you look into a space like this, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why, you know, I kept hammering home the point about Bitcoin, you know, when we were up towards, you know, 15 to 20,000 in that range. And I said, look, you know, this monthly RSI is way, way overbought. It can't be sustained here. And you had the fundamental problem of it getting really slow, Bitcoin being very slow, transaction costs being very high. It was not fulfilling its original promise. And I still feel that way on a fundamental level. I do think Bitcoin is not going to be the winner in the space. I think it's going to be somebody else. But that's why we watch closely and we follow the technicals.
Right. And so, you know, I know you like the Ether and there's some others now. Are you looking into something special that makes it, you know, like when you're looking to research one out and find one, is there anything special you're looking for in a coin or whatever you want, a token, whatever they're called?
Yeah, I think it's key that if you're looking at one that's a currency token, the questions you should be asking are, what are the transaction fees and how many transactions can occur in a second? And, you know, Bitcoin as your base case is at about $17 per transaction, and it can only do 3 per second, which is incredibly slow. So the technology behind it has to allow it to scale, and Bitcoin's technology has obviously not been scaling well. So there are other coins out there that will scale and will do so with very low transaction fees, if not zero transaction fees. That's the kind of stuff that I look for.
And that's why you're the Bubba Show expert on these things. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and this is the Bubba Show. And of course, we want to remind you to, first of all, check out our high school investing program and help us out as we try to expand into many, many high schools. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And if you do, we take care of you. And in the meantime, don't forget to download the show every single day as we strive to get to our goal of 1 million downloads a month. And I'm counting on you to go there and take care of it for me. So make sure that you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be back with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show technical expert. Right after the break, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. We're coming right back to you in 2 minutes. Todd Bob Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the expert of cryptocurrency, the expert of technical analysis right here at the Bubba Show. So, Matt, we had a pretty strange market, but here's a couple of things I saw, and I'm going to get your views. A, we had a little bit more wider trading days, a little bit more up and down. We had a little bit of pickup in volatility, and we had a little bit of a pickup in volume. To me, that signifies that the markets are getting ready to make another big move, and that you could be possibly putting in a top. But again, I'm not calling the top, but you could indicators in my eyes are that we're seeing some action that's going to create a much bigger move and more opportunities for traders, and it could be coming near the top. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're getting closer to a top. Clearly, I mean, you know, my target in the NASDAQ is a bit higher. The first real resistance I'm seeing in the NASDAQ comes up at 7,520-ish. So, I still have an 8,000 target beyond that, just a little bit below 8,000. So I don't think the top's in yet, but everything's overbought. Daily, weekly, monthly, RSIs are all overbought. And I'm seeing the Nikkei being close to a significant top. The Euro stocks, I'm seeing another 4% to the upside, 3.5% to the upside until we hit a clear top. I'm thinking, you know, we still have more to the upside. But again, all these indicators being as overbought as they are, sentiment being very, very bullish, which is a contrary indicator, I think we should be looking at, we could very easily have a correction and then, you know, another move to my target highs, or we could just go straight to those target highs, and then that would happen much faster, and we'd be looking at I would say a bear market. You know, if it happens right away, we're going to be looking at a bear market the second half of this year.
I would agree with that. I mean, again, your target now, I mean, you've been calling for the NASDAQ 8000, so I think it was around 6,300 or 6,400. It's now 7,400. So, you know, it's only, another 9%, 8% from your target, from your overall target, which could certainly get there. And, of course, the way we move these days, you get there in a hurry. I think that the overall view and what I'm seeing, I mean, I look at some of the other products around and I go, okay, so I look at oil and I go, oh, so guys are calling now for $80 oil, and I go, are they on drugs? What are they thinking? How are we going to get the $80 oil? I don't get that point. Now, I know you were slightly bearish on oil. I don't know if that's changed, but to me, the action oil all last week just showed me that it's got pretty solid resistance around 65. It doesn't look like when it goes too much higher, and it looks to me like it's topped. What do you think?
I think we got very. If we didn't top, we got very close. The target I was looking for was mid 60s, essentially 65, 66. I would have preferred 66, but didn't quite get there. I could very well see oil's at top here. The indicators did what I wanted them to do. They seem to have peaked. The weekly RSI in particular was what I was looking for. Around 75 is the top, and we got there. And if you look at what the commercials are doing, they have a mass, you know, they have another new all-time record short position in oil. There are now 150,000 contracts beyond their last record, which was this past February. So they, in terms of contract number, they're definitely at an all-time high short position. In terms of dollar figure, I think they're getting pretty close. So if you look at the smart money, they're betting very heavily against oil here, very heavily.
Well, and I think with good reason. I mean, again, I think this was more artificial BS anyways. And, you know, and then I look at gold, and you and I, now I think you and I might be the only guys in the world that believe that gold and the cryptocurrencies are related and that they're competing for the same dollar. And wouldn't you know it, that the cryptos got creamed and gold went up. I don't know. I don't know how that worked. But to me, gold looks like it's also kind of reaching a pinnacle top here. Again, listen, I like gold longer term. I mean, you know, like any other hard asset, I think it's going much higher eventually, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to go much lower first. And I'm not even saying much lower, but I think that no matter what happens, I think gold's got to go back and test that low of like 1238. What do you think?
I agree on the fact that we have to test the lows. And I have rising supports that are now coming up underneath that would allow for a double bottom if it happened in a month or so. I'm also seeing the current pattern, and right now, as we speak, it looks like it could be targeting my next level up. We did hit that 1350-ish resistance that I was talking about. I think the last two times we discussed gold, and we've pulled off. We come back down to a place that we had prior resistance. Now it's acting as support. If it bounces from here and gets past 1350, then I think we're going to about 1420. And from there, I think you get a really strong sell-off. So right here, I have no position. I'm neutral. If we break below, say, 1300, then I may go short. But in any case, I'm not touching it. But I think we go as high as 1420. From there, we get a massive sell off, and we definitely still need to come back down and retest the lows.
You know, I agree. I mean, like, obviously, I can't. If I could pin it exactly, I would, but I can't. But I do. I do see reasons for me to look at it from here. And now, you know, we haven't talked about these for quite a while, and I don't know if you're watching much anymore. But the grains, you know. you were bearish pretty much across the board, which has worked out fairly well. And but, you know, now it's becoming to the ridiculous and the sublime. I mean, you know, corn is trading at levels not seen since the 90s. And I don't understand what's going on. I mean, these guys can't make any money. They plant this year, they're going to have to plant at a loss starting off. Now, do you see any room for some upward momentum in the grains at all? Or are they still going down as far as you see?
I still haven't seen them bottom. From what I want to see. So, I still see room to the downside. I don't think downside is very significant anymore. Percentage wise, I think we're looking at, five from the lows, maybe another 5 to 10% in that zone. None of my alarms have been triggered. I have alarms where I think, you know, these things will bottom. But I'm not playing in that space right now. I just don't think they're great for me. They're not great trading vehicles right now. If I look at overall agriculture, and for that I use the DBA ETF, it hasn't bottomed, and I'm seeing a bottom there in the 17 to 1750 zone. That's when we get down to there, I'll be interested in agriculture broadly.
Are you sure you weren't sleeping when those alarms went off? No, just kidding. All right. So now you called for the top in bonds quite a while ago. And of course, they've been basically nothing but going down. And now we saw a pretty big push down again last week. After the week before, we had a big push. But then China, you know, the bullshit with China and blah, 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 blah. But now we're again on the ropes. And I know that I think you had a target in TLT about 116. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's broken some pretty clear supports that it shouldn't have broken them if it wasn't going to go down to what's basically a flat level at 116. So that's my next target. The only thing that makes me a little bit concerned about is that TLT is already a bit oversold on daily indicators, but they can just continue to get more oversold. That's not a problem. I'm short TLT, actually long the municipal bond ETF MUB as a hedge, and right now MUB is right on support. So those two markets tend to move together. I just wanted a hedge until MUB breaks support. But anyway, long story short, yeah, I'm short TLT, and I'm thinking 116 is the minimum downside.
No, we can't pinpoint it exactly, but just quickly, your overall thought on the currency now the dollar got made a new low, which was interesting. It got creamed, and of course the euro hit your original target of 123. Now what?
Well, now I think that euro, you know, it could push a little bit. It could push a little bit higher, but it reached the minimum target that I was talking about originally at 123. It made it. So we now have a short euro position. The commercials have an all time record short position in euro by a long shot.
All right, well, they're going back to 88.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as the dollar goes, there's a target at 88.5 that may be reached. If it is, then we're going to get a big rally from there, I would believe.
All right, we're good. And this is Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. Matt, always great to have you on. You always give us the best information. I appreciate it.
Todd, it's always great to be here. Thanks a lot.
This is The Bubba Show, Top of Horse. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Top of Horse. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks so much. We'll see you later.
Turn the quiet.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.